Welcome to the Joseph Campbell Audio Collection. This talk is called Society and Symbol. It is the third talk in the series entitled Man and Myth. And now, Joseph Campbell.
Now, to begin with, the problem of the symbol is an extremely difficult one to talk about. The symbol works as an automatic button that releases energy and channels it. I think one could define a symbol as an energy-releasing and directing image. And since the symbolic systems of the world include many symbols that are practically universal, the question comes up as to the universality of symbol and then how the universal symbol should be directed to this, that, or another culture intention. What is it that affects these directions? Now, this is a rather intricate subject, but I think can be presented in a few clear lines. Just to give a base, there's the question of whether symbols inhere in the psyche or are imprinted. In the field of animal psychology, it has been noticed that if a hawk flies over the coop of little chicks that have just been hatched from the egg, that have never seen a hawk before, they fly for shelter. If a pigeon flies over the coop, they do not. Models have been made of wood imitating the form of a hawk. When such models are drawn across the coop on a wire, the chickens run for shelter. If the same model is drawn across backwards, the chickens do not. Now, this is called, since we've got to have initials in this period of human thought, these are called innate releasing mechanisms, IRMs. Now, it has been noticed that when a little duck hatches from its egg, the first moving creature it sees becomes, as it were, its parent. It attaches itself to this figure, and then this cannot be erased. This is known as an imprint. Now, the question is, with respect to the human psyche, whether the greater number of the responses are of the first order, which is called a stereotype. You have the sign symbol of two orders, the stereotyped, in the case of the hawk and the chicken, it is a lock-key relationship, as though there were a precise image of that hawk in the chicken. You might ask yourself, who is responding to the stimulus? Is it the little chicken? He never thought of this thing. It is the chicken race, you might say. This is what Jung calls an archetype, or the symbol imprinting or releasing energy in terms of a collective image. That chicken never had that experience before. Whereas the funny little duck who has attached itself to a mother hen is quite peculiar in his way. He is an individual. He isn't a mere type. This is the result of an imprint. Now, the fact about imprints is that distinguishes them simply from something you've seen and been impressed by. It comes at a moment of psychological readiness, which is a unique moment and is lasts for only a fraction of a period. And the imprint is definitive and cannot be erased. Now, let me just say, too, since we do have to move rapidly, that in the matter of the human psyche, it is almost impossible to determine any stereotyped images. That is to say, in our discussion here, we will have to assume that there are no stereotyped releasing images in the human psyche of very much significance, at any rate. The imprint factor is the dominant one. And so then the question comes, why is it that there are universal symbols, symbols that work everywhere in human life, that one can see in the mythologies, in the religions, in the sociological structures? It is because, one, there must be some constant experiences that individuals have, and these constant experiences are, in fact, in the period of infancy. They are the experiences of the child's relationship, A, to the mother, B, to the father, C, to the relationship of these, and then next to the problem of its own psychological transformations.